We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next guest at Longshoe. That is right, Jason Longshore joining us now on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta. United analyst and, of course, every night during the World Cup, host of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We're going to get into exactly what's been going on in that show with him and Jess in just a moment. But first things first, Jason, how you doing this evening?
Doing well. Doing a lot better after that Argentina win today.
Are you were nervous that Lionel Messi wouldn't come to the rescue and find some points against Mexico?
Hey, anytime you go into a match that if you don't get that win, the tournament is over. Yeah, there's pressure. I think you saw it in the first half as well. But Messi with the breakthrough, then the second goal to put it away, and Argentina takes care of business. But it's going to be an interesting final day for them.
We're going to get into that in just a moment. But now that you mentioned the Messi goal, thus far in the tournament, is that your goal of the tournament? Is it the Brazilian half-volley bicycle kick? What's been your goal of the tournament? The goal from Saudi Arabia against Argentina? What's your crowning achievement thus far?
The Richarlison goal for Brazil is the goal of the tournament so far. I think the number two is the Saudi Arabia goal from Salem, their striker, to beat Argentina. The Messi goal was great. I mean, it's one of those goals I think we've seen a million times from Lionel Messi, where the first touch is just perfect, and he sets himself up for anything he wants to do, and he has such a quick release that, you know, Mexico's not able to step out to him, and Memo Ochoa isn't able to react fast enough. It's just the brilliance of Lionel Messi, where you can kind of lose him in a game because he kind of drifts out of the game at times. He's not always on the ball for Argentina, but he seems to always know when to pop up in those dangerous spots.
Yeah, and for those who haven't seen it, you could find Messi's goal, I'm sure, on Twitter. It looked like maybe from the deepest goal of the tournament. I don't recall. This one looked maybe 26 to 28 out. Maybe Saudi Arabia's goal was kind of just from the angle along those lines too. So you mentioned it though. There was a lot of pressure on Argentina. They had to get, there were some ways, I guess, with the draw, but really had to get a result today, but they're not through yet. Just this victory doesn't put them through. So what's their situation for Argentina heading into the final game? And then also, are we looking at a situation very seriously where Mexico does not advance as well?
Yeah, I think Mexico's got a pretty tough road no matter what happens in that other game. Saudi Arabia is a good team. Saudi Arabia has been maybe of the kind of lesser lights in this tournament. They've been one of the bravest. They don't sit back. They don't do what Mexico did today and just play very defensive and play not to lose. They're going to go take chances. They're going to go try to force the game. Mexico's going to have to deal with that. I don't think them beating Saudi Arabia is a foregone conclusion. And then Argentina plays Poland. I mean, there's a pretty easy scenario where Saudi Arabia and Mexico kind of cancel each other out. Poland and Argentina go through. They're playing for the top of the group. But things could get weird on that final day. If Poland gets a couple of goals, takes a lead, Argentina can't break them down as they struggled today. Mexico could jump them on the final day. There's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching that last day in Group C.
No doubt about that. And Lewandowski for Poland, one of the best goal scorers in the world. We've actually seen that from Mbappe as well. France with another victory today. Early on stages, and look, we're going to get into Brazil and the Neymar injury and how it impacts them in just a moment. But Jason, early on, France looked like the team to beat to you?
I think Brazil is. I think France is pretty close to it. I still worry a little bit about them defensively. They were a little shaky early against Australia. I thought Australia maybe got rattled after France kind of stood up after conceding first, and Australia didn't take as much as they could have in that match. And then today, it was kind of the same thing. I mean, Denmark, it just took them a long time to get going. Once they did, they were very even with France, could have taken the lead, probably maybe should have taken the lead late in the second half. But Mbappe is having a brilliant tournament, and he has to. With some of the absences that they have, you know, he's got a good supporting cast around him. It's not the supporting cast that was expected, but Mbappe has to be that focal point. So Giroud has some space, and he's been good in this tournament. I think the maybe surprising element in some ways for France, or at least, you know, maybe not expected to be as good as he has been, is Antoine Griezmann. Griezmann playing in that kind of free supporting role has worked really well for them. Mbappe got the headlines today, but the cross from Griezmann to pick him out on the back post, about as perfect as you can get.
And Griezmann also missed, it was a tough strike, but it wasn't quite a sitter, but he had one in front of net as well. So let's dive into that Brazil thing then with Neymar, because the reports today are that he's going to be ruled out for group stage. I don't think that's the biggest concern for Brazil now, but if he's out beyond the group stage with that ankle injury, is this a team that, let's just say he's out for the whole tournament. Not that we're not reporting that he is, but in theory, if he were out for the whole tournament, is this a Brazil team that can still win this thing without him?
100% it is. And I think that's a credit to Tite, their manager, who has put a little more structure to what Brazil typically has been. I think we're so used to Brazil and all the attack, and it's just gung-ho, get numbers forward, and there's not much structure to it. Or at times, they've been very reactionary, where when they haven't won games with that, then they get very defensive and actually really physical and kind of nasty at times. They're in a really good place to be able to weather a potential absence of Neymar. I don't think the ankle injury is as bad as it's been talked about. I think the initial conversation is maybe even misconstrued a little bit. They said he's going to definitely sit the next game, and then it depends really on how he's doing, but also where the team is. If they've clinched, if they win their second game and they've clinched going through, he won't play in the third group game. But I'd be willing to bet that if, say, they lose the second game and they're in a must-win situation in game three, that Neymar is going to be able to give them something if needed.
It'll be interesting to see, certainly for Brazil. I was trying to scroll ahead. Their next game is against Switzerland, who is a relatively good defensive team. That could be a low-scoring affair there. You mentioned Denmark. Really upset me. I drew them in a World Cup draw, and I'm not feeling so great about that anymore. It's Jason Longshore. You may know him as an Atlanta United analyst, but you can also hear him tonight and every night during the World Cup, along with Jess Sharman, on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. They're going to be on after play-by-play, or if during the week after John Chuckery. Tonight it'll be on after the LSU-Texas A&M game. Real quick, Jason, you guys have had a great list of guests already early on here, group stages, during Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Little preview of what you guys got coming tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We got Liam Curran, Atlanta United goalkeeper, coach. Had a chance to speak to him after his beloved Aussies got the win this morning, put themselves in a decent spot to be able to get through. They're in a game with Denmark in the last day of the group stage where Australia gets through with a draw. Denmark has to win. Also talked to Liam a little bit about just goalkeeping in the tournament in general. Talked a little bit about Matt Turner from the U.S. and with the interviews we're doing, it's been great to be able to get all the guests that we have. The full interview will go up on the Off the Woodwork podcast. You can download that at any time. And then we'll play some clips during the show to get you going as well. It's been some jam-packed shows with a lot of things to talk about. Tonight's going to be no exception.
That is Jason and Jess Sharman on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, and certainly in Atlanta flavor. Some of the guests they've already had: Jalen Hawkins, Clint Capela, Boca Negra, Youngway Koo, Michael Parkhurst. So certainly not strangers to the Atlanta market with their guest work. Now, Jason, obviously we're going to focus here now on the U.S. and Iran and what is left in front of the U.S. So I guess I'll start in general. This game on Tuesday, the U.S. needs a win to advance and get past Iran and move on. What is, in general, your comfort level that they can do that?
I think they can, but it's going to be very difficult because of two things. The U.S. has not been good in the final third in this tournament. I think they've done everything up to the final third very, very well. They've conceded one goal in the tournament. It was from the penalty spot. It was a defensive individual mistake on a tackle. That's it. They've done a great job on that side. They've created some good scoring opportunities, but they only have two shots on target in the tournament. That's got to change because it's a must win. The other thing that gives me some concern about this one is Iran is a team built to counter. They're built for this situation where a draw gets them through, but if they're able to break on the U.S., say that game starts getting to the second half, the U.S. has to commit more numbers forward, take more chances. Iran is a team that can punish them on the counter if the U.S. does what they've done in this tournament and not be able to take advantage of their opportunities. Mehdi Taremi for Iran is one of the best forwards maybe in the world so far this season in Europe with Porto. He's been brilliant, and he's a guy you do not want to see out on the break in those 1v1 situations.
You mentioned issues in the final third there, Jason. One goal in two matches for the United States, two shots on goal on Friday. What's the answer there? Is it shooting more from range to try and open things up? Is it just a moment of individual creativity? What can they actually do right now to be a little more threatening once they get into the area?
I mean, they have to finish the opportunities because they are getting them. You know, you look at the Josh Sargent header off the outside of the post in game one against Wales. You look at Weston McKennie's opportunity against England. These are good opportunities. That just, it's execution at that moment is what it comes down to. But I do wonder if there are some opportunities potentially to get another player or two forward. And I think I look at the midfield a lot, and I look at somebody like Brendan Aaronson who can come off the bench, provide a spark. Can he give you more as a starter? I think Aaronson is a player who can really dictate the tempo, both with his pressing where he can create some opportunities off of a turnover, but also he's a very technical player. He's got a good range of passing. He picks out that final ball really well. He's somebody that I think could be a big help to them. I think he's a better help as a starter. I know a lot of the conversation is about Gio Reyna and such an incredibly talented player. I think he's going to be better suited to coming off the bench because of the strong performances of what Tim Weah has given this team so far. Greg Berhalter is going to have some selection issues going into that last day, knowing that he's got to find some goals in this team.
And that was going to be my next question, was the lineup decisions that are being made. So if you bring in Aaronson, who are you looking maybe to send to the bench in that situation?
I think you've got one of two options here, and you're going to have to make a bold decision either way. Yunus Musa has been good in this tournament. I think Musa is a very good two-way central midfielder. Aaronson, in my mind, provides more of a threat going forward, and you need that in this game. That's the easy swap, is Aaronson for Musa. Play with McKennie, play with Adams. The more challenging one is the number nine position because you haven't really solved that. We've seen Sargent, we've seen Hotsu Wright, we saw Jesus Ferreira before the tournament. None of them have been able to really get going. Do you move Tim Weah in to play as a nine, which could open up the wing? Brendan Aaronson could play on the wing, or if you want to get really bold, Gio Reyna can start on the wing, Brendan Aaronson can start in the midfield, and you can have fresh legs in game three that are attack-minded, that can maybe turn things around for the U.S. in the attack.
And as you mentioned, certainly the mindset will be to get forward once the game settles in because the goal is needed. You can't play for a tie. And I think they were, to some extent, playing for draws, certainly against England, but even against Wales.
I'll disagree with you on that, Abe, because I thought the U.S. was the more ambitious team against England.
Oh, they were better. I agree they were better. Yeah, but I think from a comfort level.
Was what surprised me.
Yeah,
I think England was what surprised me with how maybe passive they were in that game. I thought the U.S. went for the win, didn't get it. I think England was just kind of there and took the point. They didn't really try to push for anything more than that.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I meant just more from the caution to the wind idea is gone in regards to it, especially as you get into the second half if it's still scoreless. You take chances that you wouldn't take against England. I guess that's all I meant in regards to playing.
Yeah, you got to open up in this game. I think you got to open up at the beginning. I don't know if you can sit and wait and hope and hope the first half goes your way. I think you've got to be bold from the start while also having a couple of options off the bench that can change it up but still be attack-minded in the second half.
Final question here for you, Jason. It is Jason Longshore on the WadeFord.com hotline, host along with Jess Sharman of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. A lot has been made in recent days or over the last week of Cristiano Ronaldo and his situation with Manchester United, and obviously he's starring there at the World Cup with Portugal. In your mind, could his next stop be in the MLS? Did you happen to see the offer today from Saudi Arabian giant Al Nassr? What do you see maybe as the future for Ronaldo once this World Cup is over?
Yeah, it's such a weird situation. I mean, the timing of everything after Manchester United's last match, this tabloid interview that comes out and sitting down with Piers Morgan and trashing the club to the point that they agree to separate mutually and cancel his contract. And then going into a World Cup, he gets a goal, but there's a lot of weird tension around this Portuguese team that we'll have to see how it plays out. He's going to have options to make a lot of money wherever he wants to go next. But what does he want? Does he want to go play in the Champions League, which is what some have said? So he's going to have to look for a team that would give him that opportunity. Or is he just going to chase the money? MLS is a league that, yeah, they're going to consider options. I don't think he's a fit for every team, though. And, you know, he has settled. There was a legal case that was outstanding that appears to be settled, so that would not block him from coming to the United States. But I think there's going to be more money in the Middle East if that's what he's after. And I just don't know really what the next move for him is. It's been such a strange fall from grace for him over the past maybe calendar year that I don't really know what direction he goes next.
He is Jason Longshore, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, alongside Jess Sharman. And you can also download those shows by downloading Off the Woodwork on the Odyssey app. They're going to be taking the airwaves, recapping tonight what happened today. He already mentioned the Argentina-Mexico result. Certainly to get into what to expect in tomorrow's games as well. That show, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, will be coming after the LSU-Texas A&M game. Jason, I talk to you at our 10th anniversary party every time that I am doing a show with the World Cup. I want to have you on, and that will continue. I have on in a couple weeks while it's still going on, so we'll make sure we connect then. But thank you very much for the time, and have a good show tonight.
Thanks. I got you. Anytime you need me, just let me know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.